Go hackers, welcome to the CS Joseph podcast, live edition. We're going to be answering one of our acolyte questions as part of the stream, and hopefully we'll get some takers on, typing random people. We'll see. Although I just have to say a few words, though, because one of my ESTP friends just collapsed on the street back there and started having a seizure. Good friend of mine, one of the bouncers at the local bar. And I made the call to 911 and was trying to assist the other two people, keeping him up on his side, tracking his breathing and whatnot, but they just hauled him away. He had brain surgery about 6 to 9 months ago, so honestly, I really hope he's okay. But I think he will be. I think he'll be fine, which is pretty good, all things considered. He seemed to be, he was like not coherent for like a good solid 10 minutes, but when they hauled him away, he was pretty coherent afterwards. And just so interesting to watch extroverted feeling child and extroverted sensing hero.
What's your live stream?
My show.
You got a show?
Yeah.
That's actually cool.
What's the name of your show?
Yeah. Say again?
What's the name of your show?
You'd have to be on the show for me to tell you that.
What?
Are you famous?
To some.
To some?
That's dope.
Okay.
How many people you got in your life?
We have 32 right now. It'll probably be 110 minutes or so. When you stream this late, you know. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Later. So, my friend, it's just so interesting to watch extroverted sensing hero or extroverted feeling child still like be kind of working, even though he's having a seizure right in front of me. And even though he's barely coherent, as an STP, he's still like trying so hard not to be a burden, trying so hard to like not take so much help, because extroverted feeling child feels so guilty, basically. And it was just so fascinating to see how prominent our cognitive functions are actually coming out. Just right there, you can see how guilty he is, you know. It's so funny, though. It's likely that the person who asked this particular acolyte question is probably an INTJ and has extroverted feeling trickster, which then they wouldn't even really be able to read the emotional reactions of a human being. Therefore, it's pretty easy for them to basically claim that typology is fake. And yet, here I'm seeing raw proof of it right here in front of me, that even when this man, who I very much care about, love to a degree, is suffering, and even amidst his suffering, he still could not ignore his optimistic cognitive functions of extroverted sensing hero and extroverted feeling child. I mean, what more proof do you need? The problem is that proof is not good enough, especially, you know, potentially the question asker, because when you have a trickster function of extroverted thinking or extroverted feeling, external judging trickster functions all have this thing where, you know, that part of the world is somewhat unknown to them, basically, which can be entirely frustrating. Entirely frustrating. So, regardless, at least he's okay. And, you know, that matters. Also, I had the pleasure of asking Dr. Dario Nardi to join us at EgoCon. If you don't know what EgoCon is, and you want to know what EgoCon is, go to the Discord server, discord.gg/egohackers. Head on over to there, and you'll learn what EgoCon is pretty quick. If you want to come to EgoCon and meet a lot of us in person and have some fun in October, you might want to check that out. discord.gg/egohackers. We're only making EgoCon available to people who are on the Discord server and people who are active in the community. We also dropped a message in the Facebook group as well, but it's not exactly something we're going to be making available to the wider audience per se. At least not this year, because it's our first go at it. And we're going to actually be hosting EgoCon every year, basically, after this year. It's our dry run this year, that's why we're not charging for access to it. But next year, I suspect we will be. And Dr. Dario Nardi, I already asked him to be present for this one, but sadly, he's not going to be able to make it. I would like Dave Powers to attend, that would be nice. And since he's probably the only other typologist in the MBTI blogosphere, or at least on YouTube, that I respect, and if there is a YouTuber out there I should respect, I probably just don't know about them, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, you know? But someone like Eric Thor, no, he wouldn't be invited. No thanks. But yeah, that's just kind of like where I'm at with it. So yeah, where's the proof? Where's the proof? How does typology exist? You know, it's one thing for me. It's one thing for me to be like walking around and being and just, you know, making this jolly claim, or it's like, oh yeah, you know, anecdotal evidence. C.S. Joseph knows, C.S. Joseph has observed, C.S. Joseph has experienced it, right? You know, and a lot of you folks out there are like, okay, yeah, that's nice that you have this anecdotal evidence, but you know, where is the empirical evidence? The thing is that many people have relied upon my anecdotal evidence over time. Basically, they've relied on my anecdotal evidence, and then they start using tools like the TypeGrid, tools like Ucha, tools like our comprehensive guide, basically, which is basically like our quick start guide, 40 plus pages of awesome. And from that point of view, they've actually been able to develop their own anecdotal evidence as a result, which is pretty cool. So, given that, you know, oftentimes people hear my anecdotal evidence, but they can actually pretty quickly replicate my anecdotal evidence. That's why they can just rely on my anecdotal evidence. Oh, C.S. Joseph is making this claim. I'm going to go figure it out on my own and see if it works and see if it's a thing. And then they find out that, yeah, it is a thing, actually. That's why I haven't really had to rely on empirics. But then again, like, are we calling Carl Jung a liar? The father of analytical psychology a liar? That's what I want to know. Are we? Is the person who's asking this question, you know, where's the proof? Are we calling Carl Jung a liar? You know, a lot of people are not aware that I have a lot of, like, my source material, especially, posted at csjoseph.life, and that is csjoseph.life/reading. It needs to be updated, actually. It's really behind, but every book that I've read, well, at least it should be, is posted there. Not only that, in the comprehensive guide that you can get just by interacting with Ucha, and you can download the guide right off of Ucha when you take Ucha. Ucha is our personality test, and it's at udja.app. Go take Ucha. Go figure out Ucha. So, Ucha's pretty cool. As you take an Ucha, you'll see download links all over the place to download the comprehensive guide. So get it. But in the comprehensive guide, we have a bibliography page that actually shows all of the books as my source material, which you should actually be reading. But most significantly is the source material for The Four Sides of the Mind, which is laid out in the first five chapters of Carl Jung's book, Aion, A-I-O-N. It's in the very first first five chapters. Chapter six through the rest of them is about archetypes involving Jesus and the Antichrist, which is fascinating. So, and from that point of view, you know, I didn't really draw anything for The Four Sides of the Mind from those chapters, but the first five chapters of ION absolutely is the basis for our theory behind The Four Sides of the Mind. Combine that with a little bit of Freud, because Freud had more, I think, a kind of more pronounced standard for The Four Sides of the Mind, at least structurally, compared to Jung. But the spirit of it ultimately comes from Jung, right? So just read that source material. Where's the proof? Well, are you disagreeing with the source material? But I have a feeling that this person is actually asking for empirics. Where's the empirical data? Where's this thing where we can inject stimuli into the environment to see a guaranteed reaction every single time? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. Because, you know, even though I asked Dr. Dario Nardi to be in attendance and potentially speak at EgoCon 2023, hopefully we'll have him at EgoCon 2024, he actually is the world's foremost expert on bringing, you know, Jungian analytical psychology concepts such as cognitive functions and researching in the field if there's anything empirical about it, right? He does this with his brain scanning thing, where according to him, according to his brain scan, asking certain questions, introducing certain stimuli to certain people when he's doing this brain scan technique, the brain scanner will show that their brain is reacting in real time to those, you know, to that stimuli, basically. And this is the basis for empirical evidence, right? It's the basis for it. And I mean, that's a thing. Now, my approach, you know, my contribution to empirics, which our AI system will be improving, you know, very soon, is what we have in Ego Hacking by Text. You can go to egohackingbytext.com, you can buy the course, basically. But what's presented in the course is basically how to psychoanalyze someone based on their text, based on their words. If you're to take a conversation with a human being and create a transcript of that human being, basically, especially when they're in a state known as a stream of consciousness. You'd be able to see something very important. You'll be able to see that there is a pattern, because people of similar types, we're the same types, people in the same quadra, even people in the same temple, have a tendency to say the same things, the same topics, the same approach to the topics, the same words, the same phraseology, the same terms, relying on the same colloquial definitions for their arguments. It's all the same. There is a pattern to it. All you have to do is actually take the time and compare a bunch of people and their text together to be able to do that. In fact, the team, thanks to Mr. Jay Patel, shout out to Jay Patel, thanks to Fib, and also Fizix as well, and other members of the team who have been very much assisting. We have our new puzzle product that's about to release. If it hasn't released already, it should be soon. And that puzzle product is, it's like, hey, you make an account at udja.app, right? And then you can pay like $2 to gain access to puzzles. And we will give you Ego Hacking by Text puzzles to solve, basically, to see if you can psychoanalyze those specific people. And this is going to be a way for our community to actually, you know, collect empirical data. We're also going to have an ELO system to keep track of, you know, people's rating in terms of their ability to psychoanalyze. And then later, we're going to utilize that data to further assist AI with learning how to type people automatically. But the point is that as you start to play the puzzle game that we're about to release on Ucha, you'll actually start to become familiar with those puzzles, and you'll be familiar with how people are communicating in text, because in order to succeed at the game, you're actually going to have to learn the ego hacking by text methodology. And then use it to actually get a correct answer to increase your ELO rating, basically, within the community. And then all of a sudden, because you're noticing the same pattern over and over and over again, as you psychoanalyze people within this puzzle game, it'll become self-evident to you that typology is not bullshit, that Jungian analytical psychology is not bullshit, that Forsyth's dynamics is not bullshit, right? Such that if anyone really actually starts questioning it, they're just ignorant, right? They're just ignorant. Let's see. Oh, thank you, Mr. Fipp, for saying it should be live. So yeah, it is live. Okay, should be live at least. Why do you think typology is still not considered science? I don't know, because Mind Temple rules the world. Mind Temple rules schools. They control the school boards. They control the Department of Education. They control the government. They control everything because they think they know best. You know, and when you have cutting-edge psychology like this that could literally improve every single life, every human being on the planet, that could be perceived as a threat to the status quo, the threat to their power. And no one wants to maintain the status quo more than Mind Temple, let's be honest. Even though it's so funny that ISTPs, members of the Mind Temple, like to think that they like to think that they're the ones who shirk the status quo the most, yet they're the first ones to bow to the feet of doctors, for example, or bow to the feet of educators. They're always the first ones to bow to the credentialed people in the world, which I will not abide by. It's literally the Dunning-Kruger effect. The walking Dunning-Kruger people, Mind Temple, ESTJs, INFPs, ENFJs, ISTPs, where the dumb people think they're smart and the smart people think they're dumb, basically. And the Mind Temple suffers from the Dunning-Kruger effect and Dunning-Kruger syndrome more than any of the other temples, yet they're the ones who humanity, or at least we, have chosen to be in charge. But they're bullshit oligarchy. Bullshit educational oligarchy. They got the old boys club. Hey, you know, unless you've worked as hard as we do, unless you got as educated as us, unless you got so as credentialed as us, unless you are considered an expert, you know, the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz didn't exactly feel like an expert until the wizard gave him his diploma. So the Wizard of Oz gave him his diploma. Yet, the Scarecrow would be walking around being all ISTP. Oh, if I had a brain, TE Nemesis, extrovert thinking Nemesis, if only I had a brain, right? If only I had a brain. Yet, if you actually watch the film or the play, you'll notice that it's the Scarecrow and his ideas that get them out of every particular situation. It's because the Scarecrow is an ISTP, for example. He is the Mind Temple representation within the Wizard of Oz. You know, and Dorothy Gale, being the INFJ that she is, with extroverted thinking trickster, allowing herself to be gaslit throughout the entire production. And then to be told that she had the power to go home all along with her ruby slippers, right? The ruby slippers of Tai Child, right? An NI hero. You had the power all along, little INFJ. Great. But the Scarecrow would not actually accept that he was smart until he had his credential or his piece of paper, right? And that's how Mind Temple basically treats everyone. It's like, oh, you know, I don't have to listen to you because you're not credentialed like I am. because you don't have the power. Well, let me tell you, what's going to happen when I burn your credentials? What's going to happen when I invalidate your credentials? You know, this is, after all, what Einstein did when he came up with the theory of relativity. According to history, who knows? Mind Temple has rewritten history so many times. We don't actually know for sure. But when Einstein came up with the theory of relativity, basically all of his contemporaries shat on him for it. They all shat on him consistently, right? And as a result of basically shitting on him over and over and over again, right? Which happened a lot. He did not live to see his theory actually being accepted as truth, as accepted as fact. You know, in his TI hero mind, he knew it was true. He couldn't prove it empirically, just like I wasn't able to prove it empirically. Thank God we have Dr. Dario Nardi out there. Thank God. Thank God we have our puzzle game on Ucha. Thank God we have the methodology and ego hacking by text to actually start analyzing psychological patterns based on patterns found in human communication. Thank God we have that. Because that's where our empirics are going to come from. Such that anyone out there who claims that typology isn't real, they will be put to shame. They will be put to shame. As they should be. As they should be. And they should be put to shame. You know? I mean, I got this card. I got this card in my wallet. Here's my wallet. And right here is a copy of my degree. This is my bachelor's degree, right here. And Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, right? Wow. This little card in my wallet cost me $120,000. What good is this credential? What good is it? Does me no good. When I went to college, aka university, only a few classes actually benefited me personally. Statistics class. That was important. Other than statistics class, what else was it? So what else benefited me? Accounting class, accounting 1 and 2. And it was actually taught by a professor who, he was Mind Temple, a really good man. I enjoyed him. And he taught, he used to work for Pepsi as a financial advisor. He taught accounting there in East Bay. Because I went to the Bay Area for my education. The reality was I was just trying to survive. My dad was telling me, oh, you know, I'm going to kick you out. Because let's be honest, I was a loser. I was a total loser. But then again, most men are. Majority of men are. 90% of men are. 95% of men are losers when they're 18, let's be honest. So I go, accounting class. Yeah, accounting class, statistics class, economics class, because with Professor Dave, and she taught game theory in economics class. And the only other class that I found beneficial the entire time was systems analysis class by Professor David L. Bevitt, former lieutenant commander in the Navy. Also Mind Temple as well, 9FP, funny. Those are the only classes that had any use. And from those classes, I learned some terminology to assist me in business. But everything else in university was a complete and utter waste of time. I wasted my life doing that. I wasted my money. And then when I graduated, I had like $1,800 a month to pay in student loans. This contributed to homelessness. My own son was, you know, born in homelessness. And that was, you know, one of the greatest shames of my life, because I made all of my stupid decisions when I was 18, decisions that I still pay for to this day. Although when I was age 31, I did pay off all my student loans, finally, which was nice, even though I was technically going to die of liver failure in those days, but still got rid of it, ultimately. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that Mind Temple will try to gaslight you into thinking that they know best, right? And they are ultimately responsible for everyone, because they have this confirmation bias thing. They're ultimately responsible for questions like these. Questions like, where is the proof? Where is the evidence? Because what they see right in front of them is ultimately good enough for them. They're so focused on the status quo that anything that threatens the status quo, Mind Temple feels threatened by. So then you have the true innovators from the Heart Temple and the Body Temple, who are constantly at odds with the Mind Temple, trying to innovate beyond the status quo. Like what you see with Elon Musk, or Einstein, C.S. Joseph, doesn't matter. But of course, you know, it's not so much about me, but there's other innovators within the EU hacker community. Chris Taylor, John Bodine, Uberserker, Duggo. You know, people are consistently innovating. Robert Potts as well. Fib as well. Good old Mr. Fib. We love Fib. I love him dearly. All of these men, they're like my chosen family, my brothers. I would die for them. So, because of these innovations, right? But, you know, where's the proof? Where's the empirical evidence? And like I told you, folks, get on the puzzles. Ucha.app, UDJA.app. Check it out. Go play with the puzzles. Learn the ego hacking by text methodology. If you don't have ego hacking by text yet, the course, go get the course. EgoHackingByText.com. Take the course. Get educated. Utilize the things taught in that course so you can get on our puzzles on UDJA.app, Ucha.app. Pay your $2 a month. Get in and start practicing. Start using the puzzles. Start learning psychoanalysis by text, right? You'll start to see a pattern in people's communication as they communicate. And then all of a sudden, you'll start to see that it's empirical, it's self-evident, it's right in front of you. That way, you don't have to be asking questions like this. Where's the proof? Where's the proof? Like I said previously, if it's still not good enough for you, check out Dr. Dario Nardi's work. Check out my bibliography in the comprehensive guide, which you can download right off of Ucha in the quick test or whatever test is not the grid test, the non-grid test one. Use that. And then you'll see, there's the proof. Thing is that a person has to be willing to seek the proof. They have to seek it out. If they're not willing to, and they just want to be lazy, you know, slothful, like Mind Temple is, and have everything served up to them on a silver platter before they'll start to believe, because they're not willing to put in the work themselves, because they want to cling to the status quo over and over and over again, well, this is what happens. And I will admit, that's probably not the original intention behind this particular Acolyte member's question. But there are so many other people out there, like Mind Temple, that ask questions like these for this reason. But then also INTJs do it consistently. The TI critic is like, oh, I'm unconvincible. They like to be contrarian, right? Because they can't even remember what they experienced. And automatically, by default, when it comes to analyzing patterns, they're pretty sus about it, because expert intuition nemesis combined with TI critic combined with expert feeling trickster. So it's really hard for them to make those, you know, to make those judgments, to make those determinations, even though the evidence is right in front of them every single day of their life, right? Which is a shame. It's a big shame. So yeah, that answers that question. All right, we got a question from DK Dan. I'm an INFP, and I heard you mention that your recent video that SE Trickster struggles at being proactive. I'd rather be proactive than reactive because I hate when SE users seeking reactions to people. Well, Mr. DK Dan, maybe it's Death Knight Dan, I don't know. Death Knight Dan. Good old Death Knight Dan. Maybe you should change your name to that on the Discord server. Shout out to Death Knight Dan. The thing is that sometimes INFPs can be proactive at being lazy. They can be proactive in having the expectation that empirical evidence is shoved in their face, or at least is like served up to them on a silver platter, right? So yeah. But yeah, that's about it. By the way, if you guys aren't on the Discord, there might be people on the Discord right now who are watching the stream together, having a watch party. It usually happens when I do these this late. Discord.gg/egohackers. Get into the community. See if you can RSVP and come to EgoCon. It's towards Halloween. And those of you that are on the VIP list, every now and then we add additional people to the VIP list. Make sure you guys get in on that. But in order to get access to it, you gotta join Discord or the Facebook group, one of the two. You have to be actively involved in the community in some capacity to be able to have the opportunity to get in. Like I said, we're not charging this year. So all you gotta come up with is travel and lodging and, you know, food expenses, and you'll be fine. And make sure you dress really well to the event. I'll be in a suit, so make sure you do that. So yeah. Anyway, Death Knight Dan or whatever that. Yep, Death Knight Dan. All right, cool. Thank you all for watching and listening. Like and subscribe, and I'll see you guys in the next live stream, which will probably be in a few minutes. See ya.